Welcome to Believing the Bible with Pastor Scott Mitchell of Grace Family Bible Church. Believing the Bible is a program devoted to rightly dividing the word of truth. We hope you will read along in your Bible with Brother Scott, or write down the scripture verses to study later. May you prayerfully and carefully consider the word of God as we study together. And now, here's Brother Scott.
I thank you for listening today. I pray the message is a blessing to you. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, we read, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" You know, I believe that not one Christian in 100 truly understands what the kingdom of heaven is. Most Christians believe that the kingdom of heaven is just some state of mind or a spiritual realm in heaven. Well, it's true that our inheritance is in heaven, but that's not what the kingdom of heaven is about. In fact, the kingdom of heaven isn't even for you. Look in Matthew chapter 10. Jesus Christ preached and said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," and he told his 12 disciples to do the same. In Matthew 10, verse 5, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, 'Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Then the kingdom of heaven is for Israel, not for Gentiles. The 12 were told not to go to Gentiles. And the people of Israel that heard this preaching would have understood what Christ was talking about. He didn't just appear out of nowhere and start talking about some spiritual kingdom that no one had ever heard of. He is come to fulfill the scriptures and the prophets. So let's look at those and see what he means. Turn to Exodus 19. In Exodus 19, we read in verse 3, "And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, 'Thus shalt thou say to the house of God, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel.'" Well, there are several things about the passage then that we can glean. First, the promises to Israel. It's based upon a covenant, and it's conditional. If they were to keep God's covenant, they would be a peculiar treasure above all the earth, above all people in the earth. Then this kingdom is affiliated with the earth. They would be a holy nation above all the people of the earth, and they would be a kingdom of priests. The kingdom was that Israel would be a priesthood unto God for the nations, and it will be established through David. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 7. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, we read in verse 12, "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. It will be David's throne, and the son will be of David's seed. It will be established forever, this kingdom." It's the kingdom of priests, established through David's seed, which is Jesus Christ, and his throne would be established forever. But the kingdom is the Lord's. Notice 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10. "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, 'Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever.' Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Then David recognized that the kingdom is the Lord's. Though it would be established through his seed and his throne established forever, the Lord is that king, and he will govern the nations. Turn to Psalm 22. We read in Psalm 22, verse 27, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. The Lord's kingdom will be on the earth, reigning in the throne of David, and he will govern the nations. That's what he told the disciples he was going to do. Look in Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Well, where is the Son of Man coming? It's Jesus Christ returning to the earth. He came unto his own received him not. He was despised and rejected of men. Israel cried out, crucify him, we'll have no king but Caesar. So Jesus Christ returned to heaven, where he sits at the right hand of the Father, to return to the earth, where he will reign as king in the throne of David with a priesthood of Israelites that will be his kings and priests. When he returns, it says, he shall sit on the throne of his glory, verse 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Now remember, he's dividing nations, people, Gentiles. He's dividing them as a shepherd divides sheep from goats. Verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, the nations likened unto sheep, come ye blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Well, bless God, the kingdom was prepared for Gentile nations, the ones on the right hand. Why do they get this kingdom? Verse 35, for I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in, naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. There's two groups here. Gentile nations that are called righteous on the right hand helped the brethren of the Lord, even the least of them. How did they help them? Giving them something to drink, giving them food, visiting them in prison, clothing them, and on and on. When will these conditions exist? In the time of tribulation, when the abomination spoken of by Daniel appears, the Antichrist, they will be persecuted. Kingdom saints, Jewish believers, the 144,000, and Gentiles can help them out during that time. And they receive the blessing to go into the kingdom. They don't even know when it is they do this. The brethren of the Lord are the Jews, those that believe. It's the fulfillment of Genesis 12. God told Abraham, I'll bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee. Well, the ones on the left don't bless them. They depart into everlasting fire. The Gentile nations on the right hand go into the kingdom. And by the way, that's the kingdom God is talking about in Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Notice the connection he keeps making to the earth. The earth. It's not just in heaven. God is in heaven. His throne is there. But he's going to have a throne on the earth in Israel. Now he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. But you and I both know that Jesus Christ is not exercising all power in heaven and in earth right now. There is power on the earth possessed by men and governments that are anti-God. And the devil himself is called the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world. But when Jesus Christ returns to gather all nations, he's going to bind Satan with a chain and throw him in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And the nations that were against the Lord are going to be destroyed. He will exercise all power and all authority at that time. And on the basis of that, verse 19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, on and on. The so-called Great Commission cannot be carried out until the Lord returns. Right now, God is not dealing with a nation. He's dealing with individuals. He's dealing with you as a single individual on the basis of his mercy and grace. The gospel whereby you can be saved right now is the gospel of Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and raised again. Back in Matthew 24, he talked about the time of great tribulation. And he said in verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Well, as Jesus Christ is standing there talking to the disciples, he's speaking that the gospel of the kingdom would be preached in all the world. The only gospel they had been preaching was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It cannot be the gospel of Christ. He's not saying to them, this gospel that I died for your sins, was buried and raised again, will be preached in all the world. He hasn't died yet. So the gospel of the kingdom of heaven is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the gospel that's going to be preached in all the world. It is to gather a priesthood out of Israel. Remember, he came unto his own received him not. Notice Matthew chapter 21, verse 33, he says, hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Notice they recognize him. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them, and he did speak of them. The religious leaders of Israel were the husbandmen that beat the servants, the prophets. Jesus Christ is the Son. God is the owner of the vineyard, and the vineyard is Israel. They were to be a kingdom of priests to bring forth fruit. Finally, God sent his Son, and they knew who he was and said, we'll kill him and seize his inheritance. The religious leaders of Israel then wanted the kingdom. just as the religious leaders of the world today want power and authority rather than believing the Bible means what it says. These that destroyed Jesus Christ and crucified him had the kingdom taken from them, and it was not given to you and me, save believers today in the body of Christ. It was given to the 12. In Luke chapter 12, verse 31, Jesus Christ said to the disciples, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." The kingdom was given to the little flock. A new nation was created by Jesus Christ, made up of Israelites. You see, God told Israel back in the book of Hosea chapter 1 that they would be Lo Ammi, not my son, and he would cause to cease the kingdom to Israel. And he did. It was taken from the religious leadership and given to the 12 and those that believed on him. They had to sell all that they had. They had to endure to the end to be saved. They had to keep every jot and every tittle of the law. And they had to love not their lives to the end. You were never told to do that. They were told not to go to Gentiles. You and I are saved today by the preaching of a gospel that was given to Paul. Your inheritance is not the kingdom of heaven. Your inheritance is heaven. We have been made to sit at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. But Jesus Christ is coming back to the earth for Israel, where he will establish his covenant with them, where they will be kings and priests. Remember, they broke the old covenant. Look in Jeremiah 31. In Jeremiah 31, verse 31, we read, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord." We read that in Exodus 19. What was that covenant? "If ye obey my voice and keep my covenant, ye shall be a peculiar treasure, a kingdom of priests." Well, the new covenant is going to be made with a new nation and a new priesthood. Verse 33, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel." And that verse does not mean you're a spiritual Jew. I'm sorry that there are so many preachers today that preach we need to bless the nation Israel as a nation or God will destroy us. But they're lying to you or they don't know what they're talking about. There is no Israel to bless today. God has not made this new covenant. Israel today is a socialist democracy set up by a communist organization in 1945. They do not believe that Jesus is Christ. They do not worship God according to the traditions of the fathers. How far do you have to go to see that? There is no Israel of God today in that land. There are people that are genetically Jews, but God is not dealing with them on the basis of a covenant. But he will deal with some Israelites on the basis of this new covenant. Verse 33, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Because right now he is not their God and they are not his people, according to Hosea 1. You are not a spiritual Jew. You do not have the law of God written in your hearts. You have to study to know the truth of scriptures. Verse 34, "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord." Well, if they don't have to teach any more his neighbor and his brother, then all Israel that will be saved will know the Lord. Well, who are they going to teach? They're going to go ye therefore and teach all nations. Because the nations don't know anything about the Lord. All they did was help out a Jew in a time of trouble during tribulation. And they're going to enter the kingdom prepared for them. The kingdom of heaven is a kingdom on the earth on the basis of a covenant God made with Israel to be kings and priests in order that they would teach the nations. That is simple and clear to anyone that will simply believe the Bible. I know that that kingdom And that covenant is not in effect right now, because the last part of verse 34 says, "For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more." And he's talking about the iniquity and the sin of Israel. They haven't received that forgiveness yet. They will not receive that forgiveness until they endure to the end, come up in resurrection. The Lord Jesus Christ will return to establish a throne and will open a fountain for sin and for uncleanness. The kingdom of heaven is on the earth for Israel to have their sins cleansed in order that they can be kings and priests to preach unto the Gentiles, to teach them to observe all things that God commanded them. In fact, they're going to reign for 1,000 years. What about you? Have you been laboring all your Christian life believing that you are inheriting the kingdom of heaven? God's got something far better for you. You see, God never made a covenant promise with you. You and I are Gentiles that were without hope and without God in the world and not a part of the covenants of promise. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. It says in verse 11, "Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." In other words, you were called uncircumcision by the Jew. Verse 12, "that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." The condition of Gentiles before the gospel of Christ was that they were cursed. Strangers from the covenants of promise, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, outside of the covenant blessings, because only Gentiles that served Israel will be in that covenant. But there's no Israel for you to serve right now. You don't have an Israel to bless today, because the God's chosen people is not on the earth right now. He's not dealing with men on the basis of nations. He's dealing with all men without distinction on the basis of his mercy and grace. Notice verse 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." That was through his death, not through the gospel of the kingdom, but through the gospel of Christ. It says in verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Your inheritance isn't on the earth, it's in heavenly places. If we're sitting together with Christ, we're where he is. Well, where's he going to be? Look in verse 20 of chapter 1. Ephesians 1:20 says, "Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." Where is that? "Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come." Jesus Christ and your inheritance is far above all heavens. You say, well, how can he be on a throne on the earth and in heaven? God can handle that. If God wants to be in two places at one time, he certainly can. He will be on the earth ruling in the throne of David over Israel and the nations on the earth. We will be far above all heavens, seated at God's right hand. And we are placed there on the basis of his grace. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The gospel of your salvation today is that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and raised again. That was a mystery revealed to and through the Apostle Paul. The kingdom of heaven is the fulfillment of prophecy. Your inheritance was a mystery. It never entered into the heart of man to consider that when he died, he would go to heaven until Paul. Every Jew believed he would die and come up in resurrection to go into the land of promise. You don't have a land of promise. You've got the promise of an inheritance far above all heavens, and it's yours if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If there's never been a time in your life when you called on the Lord to be saved, believing that he died for your sins, was buried, and raised again, Would you do that right now? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and your inheritance will not be on this earth, but in heaven. I make a special appeal to anybody out there listening to my voice who would call himself a Jehovah's Witness. You've been told a lie about inheriting a kingdom on the earth. It is not yours, and you are not one of the 144,000. Believing that doctrine will send you right to hell because you're not trusting in the finished work at Calvary. You're trusting in works of your own flesh to be good enough to go into the kingdom. Jesus Christ did the work for you. You can have the kingdom far above all heavens, not the kingdom on the earth, but the kingdom seated at God's right hand. But you must reject this religious idea that you can be saved through your good merits and trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. My prayer is that you'll do that. Until next time, good day.
You've been listening to Believing the Bible. I'm Brother Scott Mitchell with Grace Family Bible Church. I'd love to hear your thoughts about the program, whether you agree or disagree. You can write me at Scott Mitchell, 17 Cherry Hill, Seguin, Texas, 78155. If you would like more information, you can call me at 305-0119. May the Lord Jesus Christ open your eyes, and may the grace of God be with you all.